I want to show you a second thing that Jesus came to destroy. It says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, "The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil." The last part of that verse, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He didn't destroy the devil himself, because God is using the devil to make us strong. Just by the way, in case you didn't know, if you find a strong believer, he's become strong because the devil was around. He wouldn't have been so strong if the devil were not around to test him and tempt him and harass him and trouble him. He's become strong because the devil was around. Thank God for that. That God has allowed the devil to exist. We praise God for everything Jesus did. I praise God that He's allowed the devil to exist. And I praise God that He's taken away the devil's power. That he can't touch us. He can't touch us at all. He came to destroy the power that Satan has over us. There is no way in which Satan can touch a person who's totally surrendered to God, who's confessed all his sins, cleansed in the blood of Jesus. He may not be perfect, he may be battling 101 sins in his life, but he hates them. He hates all of them, and he really wants to set everything right with God and man as soon as he gets opportunity. I tell you, the devil can't touch such a man. The devil grabs hold of people who've got bitternesses. The devil grabs hold of people who are indulging in sin and not hating it. Not the people who fall, but the people who are not battling sin. And Jesus came to deliver us from the power of the devil. He said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 18, "I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning." See, Jesus said, way back before Adam was created, he's telling us something that here, which he saw before Adam was created. He's telling, you know, fellas, you're afraid of the devil? Let me tell you what I saw. He was there, one of the great angels in our presence, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I saw him being cast down. We cast him down. God. And you know how soon he fell? The speed of lightning. The devil travels at 186,000 miles per second when he runs away from a godly man, from a humble man. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you at 186,000 miles per second. That's what it says in this verse. That's the speed of lightning. 300,000 kilometers a second. And therefore, I've given you authority over serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. Do you know that? Nothing can injure me if my conscience is clear, if I've forgiven everyone, if I've confessed all my sin. Nothing can harm me. No one can harm me. Nothing shall injure you because I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And you've heard me use that illustration of the difference between authority and power. See two words there? I don't give you power, I give you authority over the enemy. He didn't say, I give you more power than Satan. It's not true. Do you know that Satan's got more power than you? But you got more authority than him. And the illustration I love to use is the little policeman standing in the middle of the crossroads with this huge trucks coming up at him at 60, 70 miles per hour. And he just lifts up his hand and that truck stops. Who's got more power? That truck can run over 100 policemen. But that driver doesn't have authority. It's one little finger, one little hand. Stop. In Jesus' name, stop. That's it. I don't know how many of you remember, we had a conference here about 20 years ago, and there was a man, I didn't know who he was, he just came in from the street and he was crawling up the aisle like a snake, and everybody was looking down, I couldn't even see it, you know, till he came right up to here. And we had just begun our Bible study, and I said, in the name of Jesus, lie down there. And he went to sleep immediately. Some of you were here, you may remember that. Because we're not going to let the devil interrupt our Bible study. We continued our Bible study for 1 hour. So let's pray. Amen. He woke up. And then we could talk to him. It happened right here, the exact spot right there between those two chairs. I don't have more power than the devil. No, I don't even pretend that. But I've got authority. Why? Because my conscience is clear. There's not a soul on earth whom I've not forgiven. A lot of people have done harm against me, more than I've done against you. Has anybody taken you to a criminal court yet? I've forgiven. My conscience is clear. Some of you got little complaints, some mosquito bites here and there you got from somebody, and you got those complaints. What is the result? You hold up your hand and those trucks come crashing over you, and because you got no authority. You're a retired policeman trying to hold up your hand. The devil doesn't care for you. Ah, you were once upon a time, I knew you had power. Ah, who are you today? Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Won't work, my brother, sister. The devil's not fooled by the old uniforms you used to wear once upon a time when you were in the service. Once upon a time, I know you were in the service, but not today. Authority. Think if you have lost it. What's the use? 100 trucks will stop when this man puts up his hand. But he's got to remain in service. There's no authority with those who have retired or those who were sacked. I think some of us are not retired. We just sacked from service because of misconduct. What a sad thing when we lose that authority over the devil. And there are so many ways in which the devil seeks to make us lose that authority. You know, he even tried it with Jesus. He said, I'll give you all the things in this world. You think the devil tempts only you with that? Can you imagine that the devil thought he could even tempt Jesus with money? And he could tempt Jesus with pleasure and honor and all the things of the world. He said, just do one thing, just bow down to me a little bit. And that teaches us one lesson. What do you learn from that? I'll tell you what I learned. That if I want to get anything in this world, I have to bow down to Satan. That's what I learned from that temptation. I hope you learned it too. That if you go seeking after the things of this world, you can get it. Even Jesus could have got it. But the way Jesus could have got it is by bowing down to Satan. And the way you'll get it is by bowing down to Satan. But you say, but I need so many things in the world. Sure, Jesus says, seek the kingdom of God first. And these things will be added to you without your running after them. That's the difference. Jesus did not starve. He fasted 40 days, but he never starved. He never had to be without clothes. And he didn't run around in ragged clothes. He never had to sleep on the pavement. He never lived in a slum. No. But he didn't run after money. Not even when he was a carpenter. Because he would not bow down to Satan. God, because Satan is the prince of this world. Jesus said that. John 14 verse 30. Jesus said, Satan is the ruler of this world. He's got the right to give certain things to different people. If you want it from him, you can get it from him. But you've got to bow down your knee somewhere. In other words, what does it mean to bow down the knee? You've got to tell a little lie somewhere. You've got to cheat somewhere. You've got to do something wrong somewhere. You've got to put God second and something else first in order to get it. Some of you got a lot of things in your life. You got promotions in your job because you put God second. No, you didn't kick God out altogether. You just put him second. That's all the devil wants. He doesn't ask you to throw God altogether out. He says, just put him second and put something that I offer you first. Your job was first and God was second, and something else was first in your life. God was second, and so you got something. And you're so happy. And you're also religious, right? Because you got God in your life. That's religious. A spiritual man has got God first in his life. A religious man has got God second. Did you understand the difference between a religious man and a spiritual man? And therefore, a religious man gets a lot of things in the world. But he destroys himself. He never becomes spiritual because God's not first in his life. He has fallen for the trap of the devil, which Jesus overcame. He's bowed the knee somewhere to Satan and lost authority.